Hello, Gospel for Grampian listeners. It's Angelina from Women of Africa Care. Welcome to episode 80. Today, we are going to be talking about developing the fruits of God's Holy Spirit. But before we get to developing the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, I encourage you to please listen to episode 79 in order to be able to cultivate the fruits of the Spirit. When you cultivate a spirit of excellence, then everything you do in life will be from a foundation of excellence. If you want to develop the nature of the Holy Spirit, you have to understand that Holy Spirit is excellent. And so you will start developing the fruits of the Spirit with an excellent foundation. You will carefully put effort into developing the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You will make effort daily to spend time on revisiting your day and your ways and your thinking and your words. You will make a conscious effort to evaluate your ways and your conduct when you have a spirit of excellence. And so we're asking you, if you want to have a sustainable development of the fruits of the Spirit of God, then you need to first develop a spirit of excellence so that whatever you do thereafter in developing a nature of God, you will do it with an excellent spirit. That I want to do it first time and I want to do it right. You want to do it right. You don't want to be haphazard when it comes to developing the fruits of the Spirit. So I encourage you, listen to episode 79, where we talk about developing a spirit of excellence. 2024, you are looking at having a better year than the year before. To have a better year, insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result. If you want a better year, if you want to be progressive this year, then you have to cultivate excellence, because every level, every year, you have to be better than the year before. Without excellence, you are not going to do better than the year before. So progression comes with excellence. We look at the life of Daniel when we speak about episode 79, cultivating the spirit of excellence. We use Daniel as an example. Over 60 years, he served many kings. And he continuously progressed and he was promoted. And how did that come about? There was consistency because he had a right attitude and a spirit of excellence. And how did he develop that spirit of excellence? He had a relationship with the living God. And that relationship allowed him to have a spirit of excellence. That's why the Word of God says that when they evaluated Daniel and his Hebrew friends against the Chaldeans, who were a very strong, intelligent group of students, Daniel and his friends exceeded them, surpassed them in wisdom, knowledge, and excellence. Because why? They had a foundation rooted in Christ Jesus. So when you are rooted in Christ Jesus, you have a spirit of excellence, you have consistent growth and progress, and the fruits of the Holy Spirit is the fruits that you exhibit. People get attracted to you, not just because you're intelligent and not because you're successful, but because you have a good attitude. I read this somewhere, Gospel for Grampian listeners, where it said that your talent can take you to a certain level of success. But without a good character, you will not be able to stay up there. Your altitude is determined by your character, not by what you know. What you know can take you to one level, but to stay up there, you need good character. And so fruits of the Spirit are good character. If you don't have the fruits of the Spirit, you have bad character. You have the character of the devil. Nothing of the devil is good. It is evil. Everything of the devil is evil. So if you don't spend time with God, you don't have his nature. You don't have his fruits. So you are going to behave like the devil. You might go to church. You might pray, read the Bible. But all your characteristics is that of the devil. Why? Because you have got religion rather than relationship. Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach had a relationship with the living God. Therefore, they fellowship with God regularly. The Bible says that they pray 3 times a day. Praying is fellowshipping with God. When I fellowship with people, their qualities become my qualities. Go hang around somebody regularly. You'll see. You'll start speaking their lingo. They got certain lingos. You'll start speaking their lingo. You'll start having certain attributes that they have. You adapt it. Human beings adapt to people, adapt to environments, adapt to things that they have in their social environment. So who we socialize with, what we allow ourselves to be entertained by, influences our attitude, influences our heart attitude, influences our expressions, influences our words. I was thinking about it over December. We had watched a family movie, and in that family movie, there was a bad word. I was quite surprised that, you know, even family movies, you have to be on guard because bad words in this dispensation that we are living in, the world has become so dark where parental guidance on a movie, even though they have their parental guidance or no bad language is there. And so how we grew up, bad language is bad language. But in the current dispensation, bad language is not deemed bad language. It has to get extremely bad for them to put a bad language sign up there. So we were watching a family movie and a word came out that was not a pleasant word. And just after the movie, one of the youth that were with us spoke that word. Just one movie. And that child adapted to a word from that movie. So you see who we spend time with, what we allow ourselves to be entertained with, becomes a root, a seed in our heart that becomes a root and we begin to speak like that. So our heart is a place that is soil, that whatever you sow in it, grows. If I sow bad seed in it, it's going to grow. If I sow bad entertainment in it, it's going to grow. If I sow bad attitude in it, then a bad attitude is what I'm going to express. If I sow bad emotions into my heart, then a bad emotion is what I'm going to express. If I sow bad words in my heart, then vulgarity is going to be my language, right? So to develop the fruits of the Spirit means I have to cultivate a relationship with a living God. And why I'm saying this, Gospel for Grampian listeners, a lot of Christians assume that because they have a relationship with God, they go to church, they pray to God, and they read the Word of God, they are a good person. They are exhibiting the nature of God. Meanwhile, they are self-deceived because their hearts have become deceived through the issues of life. The Word of God says that above else, guard your heart with all diligence. Why? Because the heart can deceive you. Why? How does the heart deceive you? I just said now, the heart is like soil. Whatever seed you put in the soil, it's going to bear. If you put apple seed in your soil, you're going to get an apple plant. Your fruit is going to be apples. If you sow a mealy seed in your soil, then you're going to get a mealy plant and your fruit is going to get mealies. So your heart is soil. And out of your heart flows whatever you sow in it. Your heart doesn't dictate what must enter in. Your mind, your will and emotions determines what you allow in your heart. So my hands has to take seed in it in order to plant it into the soil for the seed to grow. If I take a seed and do not plant it into the soil, the seed remains a seed and does not become a plant. Likewise, what I plant in my mind, will, and emotions enters into my heart and is sown into my heart. And from there, plant grows. And before you know it, the fruit of that plant is what is exhibited. For example, if I plant anger in my mind because I'm angry with somebody and I'm mulling over that anger and I refuse to forgive them for what they did to me, what will enter into my heart will be the offense of what they did. It will turn into a bitterness. I refuse to forgive them because I'm angry and offended by what they did. My heart now has sown bitterness towards that person. What do you think is going to come out of me? Because now I've sown bitterness in my heart. In my mind, I was offended by them. That offense mulled over it long enough. I chose to be angry and bitter with them and not forgive them. The seed of bitterness entered my heart. Now, the root in my heart is unforgiveness, bitterness, and anger towards that person. What do you think is going to be the fruit that I'm going to exhibit as a result of a bitter heart? Seeds of bitterness are in my heart. Now, what's going to come out of me? Well, let me tell you. I've got this beautiful book that I was blessed with recently called Inner Healing and Self-Deliverance. It is a book that was written by Prophet Kajal from Mark. She is a student that I had attended Bible college with. She was a student alongside me in Bible college. We had studied masters in ministry together. And Prophet Kajal had wrote out a book called Inner Healing and Self-Deliverance. And she herself talks about her healing from the root of rejection. And in this book on page 33, she talks about the fruits that are exhibited through a person who has got bitterness in their heart. A person that chooses not to forgive, a person who chooses not to forgive becomes angry towards God. And as a result of the roots of bitterness and unforgiveness, there are three different areas that are affected in a person's life who has sown bitterness in their heart. They experience physical sickness and they exhibit certain emotional qualities and attitudes. So sickness associated to bitterness in the heart of a person is cancer, anorexia, heart problems, arthritis, sugar diabetes, blindness, and eating disorders such as gluttony. The characteristics of bad character that bitter people exhibit are fighting. They love to fight. They love to accuse people. They accuse people all along. They retaliate. They pay evil for evil. That's retaliation. If you come against them, they're going to come back with retaliation. They recall the hurts by regurgitating the bad hurt that you've done to them. They promote family feuds. They are a people that promote discord and disunity in families. The addictions associated to bitterness is alcoholism, drug addiction, occultism. They are angry people. They don't exercise self-control. The opposite of the fruits of the Spirit is what they exhibit. Anger, out of self-control. The addictions is nicotine. They exercise witchcraft because they're disobedient. Bitter people do not obey the word of God. Forgiveness is an obedience to the word of God. Bitter people do not forgive. So bitter people are in rebellion. What do you think happens when people are in rebellion? Witchcraft. They have hatred, racial hatred and hatred in general. And they have road rage. They are impatient people. So you see, when we have the root of bitterness in our hearts, then we become bitter people. And the sad thing about this Gospel for Grampian listeners, because these kind of people go to church, read the word of God and pray, they think that they are good people. They don't know that they exhibited all of this because their heart is deceiving them that I go to church, I pray and I read the Bible, and the gifts that God has given me, I exercise it. So if God has given somebody the gift of teaching or the gift of prophecy or the gift of speaking in tongues, if they exhibit those gifts and they use those gifts, they assume that they don't have bitterness. Therefore, they are blinded. The God of this world has blinded them into believing that because they pray and read the word of God and are able to prophesy, they don't have bitterness. The Bible says that the gifts of God are irrevocable, meaning if God gives you a gift, you can exercise it. He doesn't take it away. But that doesn't mean that you are in right standing. It doesn't mean that you live a holy life. It doesn't mean that you are righteous in your soul and in your flesh. Gospel for Grampian listeners, when you became born again, your spirit man became righteous as Christ is. It is a gift. You haven't earned it. You haven't worked for it. It is a free gift. The minute you are saved, Christ's righteousness has become your righteousness in your spirit man. It is a gift given to you. You are reborn. Your life in your spirit man is as righteous as Christ. You are no longer dead in your spirit, but you are alive in Christ Jesus. Therefore, Christ's righteousness is your righteousness. Now, most Christians assume that because their spirit is righteous, their actions, their heart attitude, their soul, their decisions are righteous. But they are deceived because the Word of God says that your spirit is righteous, but your soul needs to be saved. And that means your soul needs to conform to the righteousness in Christ Jesus. And when your soul is conformed to that righteousness, then out of you flows the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Out of you flows the goodness of God. Out of you flows the will of God. Out of you flows the Zoe life of God. But if you do not conform your soul to the spirit nature of Christ Jesus, then you begin to act out like the world, even though your spirit is righteous. So then you become two different people. You act like the world, but you are saved. So you act like the world and people don't see the light of God in you because you act like the devil himself. Therefore, you act like the churches in the book of Revelations that are the unfaithful church, that are the lukewarm church, because Jezebel has entered in. Jezebel and the Leviathan spirit enters in through rejection, hatred, unforgiveness, and bitterness. People who are born again that are bitter have the spirit of Leviathan and jealousy in them. So don't think, Gospel for Grampian listeners, that you cannot be influenced by the devil when you're born again, because he will come into you and influence you through your mind, will, and emotions, and through your body. He imposes sickness on us. He imposes sickness upon born-again Christians. When we have doors open to us through unforgiveness and bitterness and rejection, then Jezebel and Leviathan and the Python spirits, all the spirits of the devil, enter us through our soul, through our mind, will, and emotions, and pollutes us. And therefore, you'll see a person that is double-minded. They go to church, pray, read the Word of God, and teach the Word of God or prophesy. But with that same mouth, they are cursing. With that same hands, they are killing. With that same hands, they are stealing. Because their soul and their physical body has not conformed to the righteousness in Christ Jesus. That is why the Word of God says Jesus comes to judge the heart of man. The spirit is righteous, but the heart is what he judges, because what goes into the heart, whatever you sow. I want to go back to the analogy of a farmer sowing seed. So the farmer has a bag of seed. For that seed to become a plant and for him to earn fruits, he has to plant that seed into the soil. Without the seed being planted into the soil, it cannot become a plant and yield fruit. So if I've got apple seed in my hand, I have to go dig a hole in the ground. I have to plant the seed into that ground, cover it, water it, and take care of that piece of land where it is by watering it and making sure that you don't have weeds growing around that apple area where I planted the seed. So I have to take out the weeds. I have to make sure I water it. And over a few months, that apple seed converts into a beautiful apple tree. And then you have apples grown. You have the fruit, which are apples. So the key here is me taking the seed and planting it into the ground in order for an apple plantation to exist. Now, likewise, the Bible says that the heart, and Jesus talks about it in the account written by the writer Luke, and Jesus talks about our heart being soil. Our heart, whatever we feed into our heart, we become what we sow in our heart. Meaning, if I sow love in my heart, then I am love, and love is what I exhibit. That means when people are around me, they are happy. They feel my love. They feel comfortable. They are not fearful. They are not overwhelmed. They feel free, because perfect love casts out all fear. So when I am rooted in the love of Jesus, then around I exhibit the love of God, and all around me you experience love. Whoever is around me, they are attracted to the love of Christ that is in me, because I have sown love in my heart. I spend time with Jesus. I have a relationship with the living God. I don't just read the Word of God for the sake of reading it daily. I don't pray because it's a religious activity. When I read the Word of God, it's because I'm reading a word that God is counseling me on. I'm waiting on God and I'm saying, God, do you have a word for me? Can you talk to me today? And then God says to me, read this in the Bible. He's having a conversation with me. So when I'm reading the word of God, I'm having a conversation. God gives me inspiration under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And that word and the revelation of the word of God is in my mind. My heart receives the revelation. What do you think's happened now? I've just sown. I was studying. For example, I'm spending time with God today and he makes me read Corinthians, the love chapter. I began to read Corinthians and in my heart goes the love of God. What do you think is going to happen? That love scripture is sown in my heart. It's sown in my heart. So what do you think is going to come out of me? Love, goodness, kindness, gentleness, mercy, compassion. I'm going to have compassion for other people because what? I read God's word. I meditated it on my mind. Holy Spirit gave me the revelation in my mind. It then settled in my heart as a bag of seed in my heart, sown in my heart as a seed of love. And so as I meditate on God's word, the love chapter, it now becomes a plant. And suddenly out of me flows love, God's love. And so people are no longer intimidated in my presence. They are happy in my presence. They're attached to me. They're attracted to me. Why? They feel God's love. So that's how we sow the word of God in our lives. When God gives us word, we mull over it. We think on it. We meditate on it. We ask the Holy Spirit to shine the light on it. Then the Holy Spirit gives us revelation of that word. It then begins to be planted in our heart. And as we spend time meditating and reflecting on it, it then grows into a plant and I act it out. So that is what a faithful church looks like. The Church of Philadelphia is the faithful church where they have a lot of oppression. But what comes out of them when they are crushed, when they are pressed, when they are shaken, comes out love instead of hatred, comes out forgiveness instead of unforgiveness, comes out gentleness instead of rage, comes out self-control instead of violence. Why? Because they might have oppression and people coming against them, but their heart is full with the word of God. Whereas people who are the loveless church, they are the church that goes to church, read the word of God, pray. But their hearts are callous. Their hearts are hard. They think in their mind, I go to church and I read the word of God, I am right. But when you see their expressions and their actions, they are overwhelming. People don't want to be in their space. If you go to their house, you don't feel a home. You just see a building because they might have the best furniture. They might have a massive house. But out of them comes out bitterness, comes out anger, comes out gossip, comes out hatred, comes out slander, comes out accusation, comes out vulgarity, comes out violence. Every wicked things come out of their mouth, yet they have a Bible and they are praying. With that mouth that they pray to God and read the Bible and teach the word of God, with that same mouth, they are moody, they are angry, they are wicked, they are evil, they are selfish. Why? Because their heart is hard. Their heart is not pliable. They allowed offense to enter their mind, and that offense turned into bitterness, that even when somebody preaches on forgiveness, they do not hear it. Why? In their mind, they don't have unforgiveness, because the devil of the world, the god of the world, which is the devil, had planted seeds of bitterness. And they allowed it to take root in their heart, and their heart has become so bitter that they don't see that they're doing anything wrong. They're believing that their heart is right. They're believing that because they're applying a religious activity of going to church and reading the word of God, it is well with them. Only other people can see that it is not well with them. And when a person is bitter, you cannot give them constructive criticism. They hate everybody and everyone that comes against what they think and believe. So they are going to be angry with you when you tell them, hey, listen here, what you're saying is not right. Your expressions are wicked. You are expressing violence. That's not right. They're going to justify their violence is acceptable because you hurt them. Remember, a person who's bitter has become selfish. Everything is about me, myself, and I. Because they did not control what they were thinking in their mind, they allowed unforgiveness to penetrate into their heart. Because when they got offended, they mulled over the offense till they got bitter. And that bitter root, that bitter seed became a bitter root. And out of them, they began to think like a bitter person. So instead of the fruits of the Spirit coming out of them, the fruits of bitterness is coming out of them. And so Kajal's book, Inner Healing and Self-Deliverance, she writes about the qualities of bitter people. They experience sickness such as cancer, anorexia, heart problems, arthritis, diabetes, blindness. They have eating disorders such as gluttony. They have bad behaviors such as fighting, accusing, retaliating, family feuds. They have addictions such as drug addiction, alcoholism, nicotine addiction. And they're in rebellion. So witchcraft is a norm for people who are in rebellion. And they have bad road rage. What about people who are rejected? They can read the word of God on, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for them. God gave his life for them. But they will never able to understand that love of God because man has rejected them, as in mankind. Somebody that they love rejected them. And as a result of that rejection came in their thought that person doesn't love me. That person hates me. They become bitter about that rejection. They are hurting by that rejection. Suddenly that hurt converts into a full-blown rejection. The seed of rejection gets planted in their hearts. And suddenly their hearts have become a swirl of roots of rejection. Rejection, self-rejection, fear of rejection, and rejection in totality. And out of a rejected heart, this is how people behave. They withdraw, they become isolated, they are moody people, they are obsessive, they are rebellious, they are disillusioned, they daydream, they hate, they're in resentment, they're in despair, they love to seek attention. I've been around rejected people. They are high maintenance. If you don't talk to them and you talk to other people in their environment, they choose to keep quiet. And so you're thinking they're just being polite by keeping quiet and they don't feel like talking. You don't think anything. Meanwhile, they want you to talk to them. They want you to give them attention. And if you don't give them attention, they will go sit in a corner and say, oh, these girls are just rejecting me. They don't love me. Meanwhile, these girlfriends are just having a conversation, expecting everybody to come in and talk, whoever wants to talk. They're not understanding that person's dealing with rejection. And so in the other person's mind who's rejected, they think that the people that are talking don't love them and don't want to be with them. So they impose self-rejection upon themselves. Self-rejected people are very, very high maintenance in a social environment. Because if you don't go and give them attention, they will hate you. They will no longer want to be in your space and they will eventually cut themselves from you. And you will wonder, what have you done wrong that put them to hate you? Because you were just being yourself. And so you eventually become so overwhelmed that you don't even want to be in a person who's rejected space because you begin to be on eggshells. Are they going to think wrong of you or are you going to say the wrong thing in their space? Because rejected people are highly sensitive people. And so they're attention seekers. They are loveless. Therefore, they want you to love them, but they cannot give you love. They are lustful. They resort to lust and child abuse, pornography. They are self-destructive. They see themselves as worthless and they are manipulative. And so when you are a person who have experienced rejection and you don't overcome the rejection, your fruits in your life makes it overwhelming for people to be around you and you become isolated. And God doesn't want us to be isolated. He said to the disciples, go into the world, make disciples of all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them the love of God. Jesus said, teach them everything I've taught you. So teaching them how to live the God kind of way. People who are rejected, withdraw themselves from society, don't trust anybody, and become isolated. Now imagine God has put gifts and talents in them to do good works. But because they are rejected, they can't do the good works. And rejected people cannot exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And so you can imagine that if they've got the gift of teaching or prophecy and they attend a cell group, you can imagine their gifts cannot be used in the right light because the spirit of rejection will choke the gift from working in their lives. They will be operating in the carnal. They'll be prophesying through emotions and feelings rather than letting the Holy Spirit prophesy through them. They'll be teaching carnal revelation rather than Holy Spirit inspiration. That's what happens when we do not allow the Word of God to take root in our heart. And the devil is subtle. He will come up and put an offense in our minds through rejection and hurt that we choose to mull over those negative thoughts in our mind. It becomes a fruit in our heart, a root in our heart. And then suddenly we behave like the world. And then we wonder why people are judging us and saying, but you're a Christian. How can you do that? And then we end up thinking, no, they're just jealous and they're just complaining and they're jealous because I'm a good person and I have a good gift and I am talented. They're just jealous and they're just envious. Meanwhile, what the person is saying is the truth. But because we have a bitter, hard heart, we don't want to accept the truth. The Bible says that the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth and righteousness. Our spirit is righteous, but our soul and our body needs to conform to that righteousness. But if we don't allow the word of God to change us, then we might have word as a lip service, but there's no revelation. We might pray as a lip service, but there's no revelation. There's no power in our prayer. We cannot change the atmosphere. We sound like empty gongs because there's no love in what we do. Perfect love casts out fear. Love is kind, gentle, patient, self-controlled. Joyful, gentle. And when we don't conform to the righteousness in Christ Jesus, our soul is polluted by the things of the world, polluted by evil. Therefore, we are two different people. Another word to call it is we lukewarm. We lukewarm because we have no effect. We have no effect to people. Do you understand? Maybe lukewarm is actually too nice a word. When we are hard-hearted, our soil nothing good can grow in a hard soil. If you take, all seeds are good. God created everything in the world. He made all the trees, all the seed-bearing plants were created by God, so it's good. So if you take a seed and you plant it on hard ground, it will never grow. So nothing good can grow on a hard heart. Nothing from God can grow in a hard heart. Therefore, a hard heart will never bear the fruits of the Holy Spirit. It will only bear the fruits of evil, the fruits of the devil. And unless you allow yourself to be broken and die to self, the word of God cannot have effect in your life. You will be no earthly good. No earthly good, because none of the word of God will take root in your heart. You will have the preacher minister the word of God. It will enter into your mind, but all it will do is stay in the mind. It will never be able to go into your heart and take root because the heart is too hard. So while the word might enter into your mind, it will settle on the hard heart. But a minute somebody comes and offends that very issue that you're bitter about, that word is gone. Get someone, you go sit with a Christian that has a hard heart and watch somebody offend them. You will see every negativity that comes out of their heart. Just early on, they'll preach God is love and you must love somebody. But they themselves, when they are oppressed, love doesn't come out of them. Anger comes out of them. Violence comes out of them. Rage comes out of them. Why? Because they're not practicing what they're preaching. Why are they not practicing what they're preaching? Because they have a hard heart. They know the word of God in their mind, but they're not living it because their heart is hard. So the heart matters. And what is rooted in your heart is expressed through your life. Therefore, you can see somebody that might teach the word of God or prophesy something, but their teaching is shallow. There's no depth in their revelation. You can sit under their teaching and be overwhelmed because they're all over the place. Their prophecy is false prophecy. Why? They have a hard heart. And you get the hard heart when? How do you get the hard heart? When you don't allow the word of God to transform you. That is why you have to always make sure that you apply the word of God. When Jesus said, forgive 7 times 77 a day, it was to make sure you have a heart that is pliable. When you don't forgive, you have a bitter heart. Therefore, the word of God cannot transform you. Therefore, you battle to hear the word of God. When God wants to talk to you, when the Holy Spirit wants to lead you into all truth and righteousness, you cannot obey his leading. You will obey what makes sense in the logic. Listen to me, Gospel for Grampian listeners. There's three voices in a person: the voice of God, the voice of reason, and the voice of the devil. When you have a hard heart, you never hear the voice of God. You only hear the voice of the devil and your voice of reason aligning yourself to the voice of the devil. You make sense and you justify what the devil tells you. You justify why you're angry. You justify why you hit that person. You justify why you stole. You begin to justify evil activities as being acceptable because they made you upset. Voice of reason, justifying that it's okay to hate somebody because they did the worst thing to you. You will never hear the voice of God that you have to forgive 7 times 77 because Jesus took all of human sins on that cross. And when we don't forgive, God can't forgive us. Therefore, every wrongdoing we've done will be judged in the courtrooms of heaven. And if you are a bitter person and a person of hatred, if you die today, your sins have not been pardoned you. Therefore, you will not go to heaven. So the judgment of the evil one is also upon you. Whatever God is judging the devil and his demons, that judgment is upon people who have a hard heart because you have not applied the word of God. You've applied the word of the devil. The Bible says that we will be judged for every word that comes out of our mouth. A person that is rejected and bitter and doesn't allow God to transform them, if they don't forgive, then the hardness of their heart is going to be judged. The Bible says that God judges the heart of men to reward them. In the book of Revelations, Jesus says, I'm coming to reward everybody and I will judge them accordingly. God judges the heart of men. So your heart matters. If you allow rejection and bitterness in your heart, then you're going to be judged by your actions. What are the actions of rejection? Moodiness, manipulation, self-destruction, rebellion. What is the judgment for rebellion? The lake of hell, the lake of fire, lovelessness. God's love has given us heaven. A person that is not loving is hateful. So a loveless person is a hateful person. What is the judgment for hate? Hell. So we cannot expect eternal life with God if we're living like the devil. You might have a righteous spirit, but your soul could go to hell. The Bible says that the soul needs to be saved. So you must not think that because you're born again and your spirit is righteous, heaven's your home. Your soul's going to be judged as well. Right? And so as we're talking about the fruits of the Spirit today, if you have dealt with bitterness and rejection, you need to heal from it. Because if you don't heal from it, then you are no earthly good. As a born-again Christian, you are no earthly good because there's no light shining in you. You are as dark as the world. The Bible says that We must be the light and the salt of the world, because the world needs to be drawn to Christ through our lives. And if we are dark like the world, what good are we to the world to draw them to Christ? And if you are dealing with rejection and bitterness as a root in your heart, then you are dark like the world, and they cannot find Christ in you. And therefore, they cannot be drawn to Christ. You are no earthly good. You are just as good as the devil himself. You are just as good as the demons themselves, because you have become a puppet to the devil. The devil works through you to oppress other Christians. You are no earthly good. You join the devil and you oppress the Christians. Look at a Christian that has rejection and bitterness. They are no good to any evil person, because they think like the evil person. They speak like the evil person. They no good. They are no good. They are no light to make the evil person come to the light, because they are as dark as that evil person. So in order for us to shine the light, Gospel for Grampian listeners, we have to exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So in order for us to exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit, our hearts have to be rooted with the nature of Christ. Our hearts have to be rooted in righteousness. That means whatever the Word of God says, we must do. We need to be doers of the Word of God. A person that is a Christian and allows rejection and bitterness to enter their hearts, they are doers of evil, not good. They disobey the Word of God. They rebel the Word of God. They're in conflict toward the Word of God. They teach and they live and they do everything in conflict to the Word of God. So to exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit will mean that you live out the word. If God says forgive 7 times 77, you have to forgive the worst person that offended you. If God says love and not hate, you have to love the very people that oppress you. If God says be kind, then you have to be kind. The word of God says that loving those who do good to you, you are no different to the world, because they love people who do good to them. He says, you'll know that you are a fruit, that you have the fruits of God, when you can love those who hate you. Love is a heart attitude. Hatred is a heart attitude. So if you've got love in you, it's because you're rooted in the love of God. If you've got hatred in you and you hate people and you're jealous and envious of them, it's because you are rooted in evil. You are rooted in hatred. So it's very important, Gospel for Grampian listeners, as we are going through this January month of healing and deliverance and wanting a spirit of excellence and wanting to be better than the year before, we need to have to search our hearts. And a good way of doing that is self-reflection. Remember, I said to you, there's three voices. If you do not allow the voice of God to enter your heart and to minister to you, then you're stuck with the voice of reason and the voice of the devil. Then you'll always, always be a carnal Christian, where you are in conflict to the word of God, where your own family and the people in public will judge you and say, but you're a Christian, how can you behave like that? I've heard so many people say about Christians, but they are Christian, Angelina. They go to church, they read the Bible, they teach the word of God. But how can they be moody? How can they be so selfish? How can they be so ugly? Because they've got roots of evil in their hearts, because somebody offended them. Somebody upset them and they didn't forgive. And so their hearts became hard, and therefore they think like the world even though they go to church. They act like the world even though they read the word of God and teach the word of God. They're the carnal Christians. That's why Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. How do you walk in the Spirit? You allow the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth and righteousness, meaning you don't listen to the voice of the devil. You don't be entertained by offense. The minute an offense comes in your mind, you quickly have to go to the Word of God and say, Lord, I'm thinking this negative thought about that person. They hurt me. Holy Spirit, help me. Then the Holy Spirit will say, forgive, because Jesus Christ forgave you, and God cannot forgive you if you don't forgive. Forgive them, Angelina, and this is how you're going to help yourself get over the offense. Pray for those who spitefully use you. Do not curse them. Do not pay evil for evil. This is how, Angelina, you are going to deal with a person that did evil to you. If you don't do it this way, then your love is going to turn towards hatred. So Holy Spirit teaches us the truth, which is the word of God. He teaches us how to combat the enemy's tactics with the word of God. The Bible says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers, rulers, and authorities of this dark world. And so the rulers of this dark world rule the world by fear and hate. Fear and hate. So anything that is coming against us that is from a nature of fear and hate, we must know it is of the devil. And we cannot retaliate by fear and hate, because we are as good as them. We are fighting this war by the devil's way. And that creates discord and division and disunity. God commands blessing where there's unity. Your spirit is righteous as Christ, but your soul and your body is disunited, is divided from the righteousness of Christ. Because in you yourself, you are divided. Your mind is messed up with the negativity of the person and what they said to you. Your heart becomes bitter. So you're divided in yourself. A house that is divided against itself cannot build. It cannot build. So when you are, your spirit man is as righteous as Christ, but your soul and your body is fighting against the righteousness of Christ, you are divided. Whatever is stronger, if the bitterness is stronger than the word of God, then the bitterness is what's going to win. And therefore you are no earthly good. But if you are going through negativity in your mind and you allow the word of God to become the dominating factor, then what do you think is going to win? Goodness is going to win. You are going to take captive that negative thought that the enemy had planted in you by your loved one, and you are going to fight it by the word of God that says love and forgive. And when you are a forgiving and loving person, you will never wait for people who oppress you to say they're sorry. You will be proactive and say, where I've offended you, I'm sorry. That's what love does. Love makes the first move. People who hate never make a move. People who hate want all the attention, want everybody to say sorry, blames everybody for everything they've done. And how you can overcome the negative state in your life, Gospel for Grampian listeners, is daily make a conscious decision. Before going to bed, do a reflection time. Just you, and you take the word of God. You take the word of God and you take a pen and paper and you reflect on your day. How did you speak to people? What did you say? What words came out of you? When you went and bought an ice cream for a person to bless them, did you buy it because you just wanted to buy it to be recognized as a giver of something kind? Or did you buy it because Holy Spirit prompting you, bless that person? How was your giving today? Was your giving today out of boastfulness, or giving today because you just wanted to do something good? You just wanted to bless someone because your heart wanted to do something good. How was your thinking today? Did you think pure thoughts, or did you think lustful thoughts? Did you think hateful thoughts, or did you think love thoughts? How was the words that came out of your mouth? How was your expressions? Was it anger, rage, violent, or was it gentle? Were you patient or impatient? Were you out of control or self-controlled? Write down the things you did today and reflect on how you behaved. What was your outcome of your attitude and your actions and your deeds by what you did today? And then be real about it, and then go look at the word of God and say, what does the word of God say about behavior? What does Galatians 5 say? What does the love chapter say? Did I exhibit any of that? Was I in fear today? And if I was in fear, what made me fearful? Because the word of God says perfect love casts out all fear. So if I'm fearful, what made me fearful? Am I rejected? What caused me to be afraid? And when you begin to find the root of that, you immediately look at the word of God to pull out that root of fear, to pull out that root of hatred, to pull out that root of jealousy. Jealousy, envy, division, strife, discord, all comes from a root of negativity. A root that somebody said something, you took it the wrong way. You know, I was listening to Pastor Nikki van der Westhuizen of our church in Boksburg, South Africa. He's got the New Beginnings Christian Family Church, and he speaks about the spirit of Jezebel and the spirit of Leviathan. They come to twist the word of God and twist people's communication. And so if you're not rooted in the fruits of the Holy Spirit, if you're not rooted in God, then you don't have the fruits of the Holy Spirit. So when Jezebel and Leviathan spirits come to twist communication, you take it personal. You become revengeful. The Bible says God vindicates us. Vengeance is the Lord. But when we are not rooted in Christ Jesus, then we want to take revenge. Then we want to substantiate why it's okay to take revenge, why it's okay to not forgive. No, it's not okay to not forgive. When you do not forgive, you are taking judgment upon yourself. God is the only judge, the sovereign judge. When we do not allow ourselves to be rooted in Christ Jesus, we become like the devil and judge people. We become like the devil and condemn people. That's why the Bible says, take the own plank out of your own eye before you take the speck out of somebody else. Because when you look at your own life through the word of God, you begin to see you got a plank, and yet you're talking about a little speck in someone else's eye. The only time we judge other people is when we ourselves are thinking like the devil, living like the devil. And most of the time, Christians become judgmental and condemned is because they are rooted in bitterness and unforgiveness. So when Jesus tells us to forgive, it is for ourselves to be protecting. We protect ourselves when we forgive others, because then we walk in love and not hate. You cannot exercise the fruits of the Spirit if you entertain any negative thought and allow it to become a root in your heart. Whatever we sow, we will reap. The Bible says, do not be mocked. What a man sows, he will reap. If I sow ungodly thoughts in my mind, then in my heart, there's going to be ungodly thoughts. I'm then going to do ungodly acts. I'm going to do ungodly deeds. If I sow vulgarity in my mind, then my heart's going to be full with vulgar words. Then out of my mouth, you're going to hear vulgar words, unclean words. If I sow pornography through my eyes by looking at pornography, then out of me, I'm going to be a lustful person. I'm going to lust people and want to be sexually active with everybody. You become unfaithful when you sow with your eyes pornography, perversion. So that is why the Bible says, do not be mocked. We will reap what we sow. Where's the sowing happening? In the heart. The heart is the soil of a human being. Your heart determines what you do. Your heart is a seat of passion, a seat of decision, a seat of emotions, and the heart is where the conscience is. If you choose to sow ungodliness by what you see, by what you hear, by what you meditate on, then your heart's going to be filled with ugly things, and out of you, ugly things are going to come out. So if you are looking this January to exhibit the fruits of God's Holy Spirit, then you have to sow God's word into your mind. Sowing God's word, guarding what you see, guarding what you hear, guarding what you touch. Your body is a temple of the living God. You got to tell yourself, I am the body, I am the temple where the Holy Spirit lives. What will grieve the Holy Spirit, I must not entertain. If it grieves the Holy, if sin grieves the Holy Spirit, then I need to look at my life. What is sinful in my life? And I need to stop it. Because I cannot be rooted in Christ Jesus and live like the devil. So if you don't do self-reflection on a daily basis, will you know if you got evil in you or not? Because the Bible says you can deceive yourself. The Bible, your heart can deceive you. People who are deceived in their heart don't like to be corrected. The Holy Spirit is in them, waiting to lead them into the mysteries of God and into prosperity and into success. But because they are bitter, because they are angry, because they are hateful, they cannot obey God. So they don't even hear the voice of God. They hear the voice of reason and they hear the voice of the devil. They cannot hear the voice of God. That is why it is so important, Gospel for Grampian listeners, for us to be rooted in the Word of God. so that the fruits of the Spirit of God becomes our nature. As myself, Shanaz, Erica, and Myrtle will unpack the fruits of the Spirit next week. But I just want to encourage you, if you want to entertain walking in the Spirit, you have to first look at where you are in your life. What is the condition of your heart? What is the condition of your mind? Don't wait to be embarrassed publicly or by the pastors or by people outside your family in order for you to realize, oh my gosh, I've been so embarrassed, I need help. Do self-reflection. Make time every day to sit down. Write down your behavior pattern. Write down the words that come out of your mouth. Write down the emotions that you express. Become aware of how you express yourself. Become aware of how you speak. Become aware of the atmosphere you create in your surroundings. When you become aware of this, then you become conscious about, oh my gosh, I need help. And then you call on the Holy Spirit, because transformation cannot be done in your flesh. Only God transforms us, and His transformation in our lives are permanent. So when you become aware of how ungodly you are, how carnal you are, you then call upon the Holy Spirit and say, Holy Spirit, I need help. Please help me. And then He begins to say, okay, because you've opened up and said, I need help, you will now allow Him to correct you. A person that does not self-reflect, does not, finds it difficult, should I say, to hear the voice of God. Because people who think they are fine, they are good, and they don't need help, are not teachable. And therefore, they will not value the presence of God in their lives. You have to be teachable if you want the Holy Spirit to lead you into all truth and righteousness. Imagine that. We have the all-knowing God, the all-powerful God, the ever-present God living in us. But He cannot exhibit His power, His wisdom, His knowledge through us, because we are too stubborn and stiff-necked to allow Him to lead us into all truth and righteousness. And then you go to heaven and Jesus tells you all these great rewards for you, but you could not get it. You haven't earned it because you didn't want to listen to the Spirit of God, who was the most intelligent being and the most sovereign being living in you. And you neglected Him because you made it about me, myself, and I. Without Christ, we are nothing. Without Christ, we are useless. Without Christ, we are worthless. That is why you see the fruits of rejection and bitterness, worthlessness, bad attitude, addictions, hurting your body, sickness and disease. Without God, we are everything evil and sick and worthless. But with God, we are a chosen generation. We are a priceless possession. And we have got Holy Spirit that wants to show us and educate us and lead us into our priceless nature. We are paid with a price. Jesus paid that price. And we should not reject that amazing gift God has given us, which is righteousness, that we need to walk it in our flesh and in our personality. So I trust you are blessed with the fruits of the Spirit, and you are going to begin to reflect on your daily life ways in order to grow in the Spirit, so that you can exhibit the fruits of the Holy Spirit to be all that God has called you to be. I trust you are blessed. Bless you.